Cliff Central Revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
What day is it today? It's Thursday. What time is it? It's 12 o'clock. But wait, something's different today. Something's totally different. Just a week ago, we put out a vote to say Gentleman by Choice is now officially a year old. What should happen in the new year? Should we see a marriage of all that we stand for coming together, and we go at life with one big force? But we let you, the people, decide, because this is a tribe after all. Sumpiwe,
where's that?
Do you have the results?
The results are real. We had over 100 votes. It came down to a victory of 1%. One show lives, one dies. Who do you think it is? All I can say is that one show had a vote of 43%. The other had a 44% landslide victory. Can I just announce today that as we step into interesting times, into a new journey, that unplugged and in charge is the victor.
Congratulations. Today's a new day. It's a dawn of a new era. And I'm not alone. I'll always be with a tribe of superstar leaders. Join the tribe of superstar leaders and get weekly doses of inspiration, motivation, and eyebrow-raising information. Unplugged and in charge will definitely leave you feeling unplugged from negative thinking and empowered. You will feel in charge of your future success.
This is going to be a session. That's all I can say. The journey is coming up to a climax. The journey is going to take us to new levels.
Yay!
That's really dramatic.
That's deep.
All right. That's an interesting voice.
Okay, cool. So, well, welcome to Unplugged and In Charge. It's a new era. Man, that felt so good saying that. It felt so natural, right? And the show, of course, now takes on a little bit of a new dynamic. But the cool thing is that most of the guys are still here with us. In fact, everyone's still here. And we got a new face. Well, he's not a new face on social media. He's not a new face in terms of doing everything with us. But Von Thiel is with us here today as well. Von!
That was dope. Hey. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I felt like nervous and excited at the same time. Hella.
Nice one. That was one, like, bro. All on the spot, bro.
Very, very nice. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I think it's going to be very cool. I think I was just actually saying to the guys now, when I walked in, it's the very first time we've been in studio together, but we've been working together for almost a year, I think it is. I think it's really cool, man. I think it's cool that we coming together and joining and hopefully you guys join us on this journey.
Yeah, can I just say that to everybody that voted for the show, your input was highly appreciated. I mean, it came down to the straw. It's literally 44% Unplugged and In Charge, and then 43% Gentleman by Choice. It was really close. Yes, that 1% makes everything, eh?
Yeah.
Makes
all
the difference. And I mean, in terms of the direction we're going, it really falls in line with who we are and what we're taking across. I mean, we definitely need to have some consistency when it comes to who we are and what we're doing. So on every platform, you'll know us as Unplugged and In Charge now.
Yeah, Mr. Lesego, you missed the numbers. So how do you feel, man? What do you think about the response and everything?
I'm just letting it all sink in.
Yeah.
To be honest,
you can't believe it, right?
I'm chilling in my corner. I'm just like,
Lesego can't believe it. Like,
this is what it's about.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, let the people govern. Parliament, take note.
Can I just say, it makes me remember the varsity days where, you know, you just needed that 1% to pass.
Oh,
that
beautiful day.
It's not 1%, bro. It's not 1%.
Yeah. That 51 was like a distinction, my brother.
My brother. Mm.
Shucks, man, but it's going to be an interesting journey. That's all I can say. I mean, there's so much in store when it comes to who we are and what we're doing. I mean, we're not just here on CliffCentral.com. Mm-hmm. We're also doing things with which, when it comes to Motivation Million, a couple of seminars coming up in the near future. And then, yo, man, who knows? Unplugged and In Charge TV is going to be coming out soon, like, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro.
Yeah, man, we need to aim high and dream big. Yeah. But, I mean, for those who might not really understand why the name's changing and why are we going in this line, let me just try and explain everything more or less in a really short paragraph. So one thing is that we've had Gentlemen by Choice this entire time. We've had Unplugged and In Charge now, which has been our brainchild, and that's been growing quite a lot. You know, we've had seminars, we've had now that there's merchandise as well, these caps, these things going around, and it's a proper NPO, you know. And I think where we're trying to go with Unplugged and In Charge is really Africa. We're trying to make sure that we dominate the entire Africa and we take up that space, especially when it comes to consciousness, especially when it comes to excellence. We're trying to raise the bar and actually define a bar for excellence amongst young people and the youth and so on. So what we thought is, how about we actually marry these two, so that when you're talking radio, you're still saying Unplugged. When you're talking about the cap, it's still Unplugged and In Charge. When you're talking about a seminar, it's still Unplugged and In Charge. One day when you're going into TV, it's still Unplugged than In Charge. Now you can see that now it's a bigger force that's actually dominating in all these different areas. So I mean, Gentlemen by Choice is still going to be there in terms of the values, the principles, the things that we stood for, we still stand for even right now. This is just really just marrying all the brands together, creating one solid brand, so that whatever move you make in whatever sphere, it all ends up, you know, benefiting the greater good.
Yeah, man, that sounds proper, bro. But I think we should go back and talk about how we normally start off our show. How's the week, gents?
Yo, my week has been like, I think by, it was Tuesday, I felt like it was Friday, man. It's been hectic. It's been a busy week, bro. I've
been
catching up on a lot of things and pushing one or two other things, and obviously working on Unplugged and In Charge things. So yeah, man, it's good. I think it's good to keep busy. So I don't ever complain when I'm busy, because, you know, I'd rather be busy doing a lot than instead of busy doing nothing. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, I think the energy's there. I've got energy for this year.
Yeah,
so
bro.
I'm ready to take it on, man. And what about you,
Lesego? You
look like you're a bit drained, bro. Are you okay?
Yeah, you know what? Lesego's been unavailable this whole week. Like, I've tried to call him so many times. So like, let's find out how his.
But this is focus sometimes. You know, I remember, I think it was E.T. Eric Thomas, he said, "You've reached the right number at the wrong time." He's working on my success right now.
Holla back. Let him know about their life. Yeah. No, guys, so the week for me has been hectic. But it's been, again, like Vaughn said, it's been a good hectic. So a lot of things have been going right.
Yeah.
But obviously, when a lot of things go right, it means that you need to put a lot of effort in to make them go right, right?
Yeah, bro.
So I've pretty much been waking up at 4 every morning.
Mm.
So I wake up at 4, I'm at the gym at 5.
You leave your phone at home, right? Because clearly you're unavailable, right?
Bro, gotta be focused, though. There's nothing that pisses me off more than doing work. So when I'm at gym, it's technically work, right?
Yeah.
Don't talk to me when I'm at the gym. We're friends, we're cool, hi, chill. And that's about it. We'll talk afterwards, but do not. Like, I'm here for an hour, and I need to get it done in an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm at the gym in the morning, and throughout the day, obviously it's work, it's a corporate thing.
Yeah.
So that's been going very good, but again, obviously just a lot of work. There's probably will be a lot of traveling will be happening. But essentially, I've been leaving Joburg, so that's Rosebank Joburg, right? I've been leaving work, I think, in about 10:30, 11.
At night.
To go to Benoni.
Yeah, that's a trip, right?
That's like another 40-minute trip. Like, that is. So I'm at the point now, I'm like, yeah, no, ASAP. So today I'm just gonna like scour the whole city, get a place.
Because you need a passport to get to Benoni.
My brother. That place is so far.
Yeah. Take.
Like, literally. But anyway, that's my life. Simpia, what's going on?
Hey, man, my week's been good. I've been with Wisdom most of the week. Like, we've been doing things, man. Big things. Like, we were at the Korean Daba on Tuesday.
Yeah. I saw that. That looked really sick.
We worked, guys. We worked. Like, you best believe. Like, we pulled in a crowd. Like, it was actually a truly humbling and fulfilling experience. That's what I can say. Because
definitely.
I remember when we got there, I mean, people walking around and, We're like, okay, well, this is interesting. I wonder if people are actually going to sit down and listen to us.
And I mean, I remember you telling me the day before, okay, Weza, I went there to check it out yesterday.
Yeah, bro.
Man, it's not easy, like, to keep a crowd, man. Dog. People walk around.
Dog.
People aren't listening, so we're going to have to really put in something.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And the night before, we put in some work. We made sure that we plan properly and we do everything that we need to do to make sure that the crowd comes in.
Mm.
So we got there and we started speaking, and I think I started it off, right?
Yeah.
And Jesse, like, I was so focused on the people that I was talking and engaging with, and then I remember Wiz took a video of while I was busy talking to a person. Then I look at it later, and I'm like, what? This place is full. Like, it was full in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I handed over the mic to Wiz, and as he's speaking, like, the crowd is filling up. Like, people are struggling to walk past. Like, they are forced to stand.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually, it was so packed that, I mean, this is all happening at the... it was all happening at the Sandton Convention Center. So, we had the space there with all the chairs. And then they're supposed to be, like, walkways for people to walk past or even walk into the arena where we are at. But people are hanging at the... at the sides of the... at the rails. And there's no place for anyone... Even corporates are trying to look over each other's shoulders. They're like, hey, who are these guys? Let me see. It was something else, man. It was absolutely fantastic.
And it was really cool to see that you guys had some Cliff Central branding there, some Unplugged branding. Yeah, man. Repping.
Session, bro.
It was like, really good.
It was such a session that we even engaged with people, and we managed to give away a few Take Charge caps, bro. Like, people were really getting involved. That's and awesome. Really wanted that cap, bro.
Talking about
I lost
involved.
My cap, actually.
You like lost them.
One of the girls wanted
it to a girl.
One of the girls really wanted this cap, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, and I couldn't help myself.
Yeah,
I had to give it to
right.
Hey, bro, these are high school girls.
Wiz is very strategic. It's funny enough, he's the one that lost his cap before I did, but I wasn't gonna say it until he was all kinds of spicy.
No, mine is explainable, okay? Like, I was giving away caps to everybody who downloaded the Cliff Central app and the Unplugged and In Charged app.
Nice
right?
work.
So we gave away caps. We gave away caps to a couple of people, and then there was one more person. I was like, "But look, I downloaded it."
So he felt sorry for this girl.
I
will emphasize the fact that it was a girl.
It could have been anybody. It could happen to any one of us.
But he had a soft spot for this girl, and
he
had a
was
soft
she a flame?
Spot.
Was it Kosa? Nah, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done with
this. Doesn't
matter. Vaughn, what are you saying? What are you saying, Vaughn?
I was actually saying, guys, talking about sort of getting involved and taking charge.
Yeah.
I see that the ISC celebrates the highest number of youth registrations for the municipal votes this year. So that's pretty positive. So the record number of young people have registered to vote, and that's pretty hectic.
That's epic.
Yeah.
That's epic.
That makes shaky ground for guys who have not been supporting the youth much.
Very much
so. A lot of political parties are now a bit, I'm sure they're a bit nervous. I mean,
I think it makes a statement, right? Mm-hmm. Like a huge statement.
I think this year and last year, close to the end of the year, the final quarter was really just an awakening of young people. I mean, things like Fees Must Fall. This is the first time we ever seen things like that. The Roads Must Fall movement, and after that,
since 1976.
And I mean, it's been about 40 years since that time, right?
Yeah.
So
it's pretty intense.
40 years later.
I just hope that those sort of movements were addressed with a lot of passion, and a lot of purpose.
Mm.
So I just hope that we take that same passion, that same purpose into our votes, and we use them strategically to bring change. Because those movements brought change, which was awesome, and it's really good to see the follow up from that. So it wasn't just a hype of a movement or a campaign that young people were doing. They've actually taken it to where it almost officially matters, and that's to the ballot. So I'm actually quite excited to see what the results are.
I actually had an interesting encounter when I was with my mom just 2 days ago. It's now come to the point where older people are really intensively listening to younger people. Because my mom is like, yo, ANC, well, we're free. Oh, wow, you got schooling for this. I'm like, cool, now times have moved on. But for the mere fact that I walked home and she was like, you know what, voting, the voting is going to happen pretty soon. And she's thinking about voting for the ACD, what's that Christian
ACDP
party?
ACDP or whatever.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But it seems like people are realizing that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if you talk to any other young person, everyone's like, yo, EFF. And the other person's like, yo, DA. Every person. So I think for the first time in a very long time, it's very difficult to predict what the numbers will be at the poll.
Like, I can honestly say that it's going to be a very difficult vote for me personally, and I'm sure for a lot of people out there, because I really don't know who to vote for anymore.
Okay, so I don't share the same sentiment. I'm going to walk there with a red t-shirt. I'm like, let's go. Turn up. I'm going to wear a red top. I'm like, let's do it.
He's going to wear a red top and cost the blue vote.
Yeah, you never know.
I know the Sokho's like that. That's the thing. Like,
this color blocking youth.
Yeah.
Put a yellow cap on.
Same time, mama. Same time. Yeah.
I just think I understand your sentiment though. Yeah, I think it is a challenging thing to vote, because I mean, just my whole thing is I don't really enjoy politics much. I just I don't mess with politics. But the one thing I do know is that a vote is a very important thing, and a lot of people died fighting for freedom for our country. So it's almost like out of respect that I vote, and also out of the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
So what I do is because I'm not politically connected to anybody, or I don't have like sort of a passion for any political party, I rather use my vote strategically. Mm-hmm. So I'll have a look at exactly what Lesego was saying. Like, I don't believe anybody should ever have absolute power to represent a true democracy. I believe the EFF play a vital role in our politics. They have a voice that hasn't been there for a long time that should be there, you know, and for the people they speak for. The DA has always had a voice. The ANC have a very important and integral part to play as well. So I feel like, you know, when I look at it like that, and I see, okay, I've got a vote, what am I going to do with it? Let me rather have a look at, you know, what might cause absolute corruption, which is absolute power, and just vote against absolute power. So if I see a party, you know, growing in numbers and looking like they're going to have, you know, 70-80% of the vote, you know, I don't believe that's a true reflection of a democracy. I will then vote for the next best competing, or a competing party with a chance to actually get numbers in parliament, which would try and balance out some sort of representation. Because we're such a diverse country, like it's quite ignorant to say, you know, one party can lead us all. I reckon there should be some sort of collaboration, and the only way to do that is to vote strategically and have representation.
Can I just say though, like, I understand what you're saying, and it's a valid point, because I think I share sentiments with you when it comes to that. But now let's look at the leaders of all these parties. If we look at them in parliament and what they're doing, like when we look at that, who do you vote for, bro? Like, because those are the people that are making decisions for our country. Or maybe we should do something different. What is that different thing? I don't know. Like, I've been so troubled by this question. Do you go into politics and influence it from the inside, or do you try and influence it from the outside? And if you try and influence it from the outside, what do you do to influence it?
You know what? I understand what you're saying, okay? So let's have a hypothetical example. And let's say the ANC wins the next national elections.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the ANC, right, who do you think is suitable to be the next president? It's tough because Cyril's a cool guy, but I mean, he's already like in court fighting for his life because of Marikana. And if you watch the movie,
but that's what you need to win in this country.
Wow.
You need to be fighting for your life or something.
You know, and if you look at the movie, mine was shot down, you know, everybody was like, no, Cyril can't do it. And then everybody's like, Khalima, but I think Khalima himself was like, listen, guys, I'm out of here, you know, because obviously
nobody had time for that. Like,
yeah, he was there, and the party didn't support him in terms of like holding the number one statesmanship, right? Yeah. So that's just ANC. And then you look at DA and you look at Cape Town, and I'm like, no. DA, you're all great, but I've been to Cape Town, and that's not a good vibe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not about that life.
You know, that's a very true statement, man. Like, I feel like the DA, you know, it's almost like I feel like they're very fragmented within, you know.
Yeah,
I think
there's
a lot of
extremely
clashing
there's like a lot of issues there, bro.
I mean every party has it. I mean, politics is politics, all a lot of crap to me, but the thing is, what's
straight up truth, dog.
So if I had to answer that question, and I think Weza can elaborate on this, because maybe I feel like we might share the same sentiment here, is that when we're talking about how do we change it as opposed to, without getting involved in politics, I think it starts with sort of the things that we're trying to do. You know, I think the more people that try to do that and encourage social change, or create like a culture of sort of a social collaboration between
social
different kinds of people, and having some sort of responsibility to your society.
Yeah.
I think if you start getting the masses of people that are governed by a very small minority, no matter what party it is, because essentially 400 people in a party or whatever the case is might govern 40 million people, which is crazy, right? But where the power still always has to lie with the people. But the more the people realize that they have the power, the more the people come together with common goals, the more government has to bend for us, and we don't have to bend for them.
Yeah.
So creating that culture amongst young people, I don't know, you know, you feel the same.
I feel the same. Look, here's something that I think we're all missing. If you look at sports, any sports, whether it's rugby, cricket, or even soccer, the referee doesn't make the match. The referee just helps the match be governable in a way.
100%.
But the players make the match. Mm. That's why there's more players than there are referees.
Take the outcome,
Yes. Mm. We the people have the power. Yes. The power to change everything. The power to make the right movements. Yes. To build the right type of futures for each other. We are the players on this field of South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and the government, it's just the referee to say, hey, offside. Hey, penalty. You know, that type of stuff.
Hey, go to the constitutional court.
Exactly.
I really like that reference because it's almost like if... And think about it. A referee doesn't give a red card to anybody on the field once everybody on that field respects each other and respects the game.
Exactly.
So nobody needs to... You know, and if someone does step out of line, the referee's there to control it.
Yes. And who is there to make sure... Who's there to tell you to respect each other? Normally, as a team, you hold each other accountable and you say, guys... We're not trying to have anyone here mess up because we all want to play in this match and we also want to have a fair match.
Yes.
That's why when someone gets an injury, the guys kick the ball out because they're trying to, you know, without the referee having to intervene everywhere.
Yeah.
If we just look out for one another and we actually, you know, we can play life like that to say, let's just have a great game, guys.
That's awesome. Mm. I mean, like, think about it like this. Even in your team, you've got various different people.
Yeah.
You've got different religions, different cultures, different races in one team. But it doesn't stop you from passing the ball to him. It doesn't stop you from using each other to get forward to win the game together. Mm. You know, so there's a lot of analogies or a lot of parallels we can draw between that, which
each
are
player
important.
Has their own position to play at the end of the game.
This boils down to the fact that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Every
single
time.
Yes.
The circle always has to come
with dropping
those
bars, right?
Like quotes from corporate. Hashtag quotes from corporate.
But I'll elaborate real quick. So essentially what they're saying is that you, as a company, as an organization, as a country, you can have the best strategies in the world.
Yeah.
But it's the right type of culture that you need and the people to drive it forward.
True.
Mm. And a very good example of that is USA.
Mm.
Like, you look at USA and you think to yourself, like, you know, everybody's like they're not educated or they're very ignorant, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look at the people in America and you look at the amount of confidence they have.
Yeah,
that's true.
They know they have rubbish cars. Like, any car that comes out of America, we know it's rubbish. We know the Germans build the best cars.
Yeah. Mm.
But if you speak to any American, they're like, no, American muscle, that's the way we go.
Yeah.
And it's because of that type of attitude, that
they
type
have
of, like,
this thing.
Like, keep going. Like,
the
we can
American
do anything
dream.
We want, 100%.
Yeah. Mm. They believe it's the best country in the world, bro.
That's all it is.
And it starts with the belief, really. You know, I was just doing a voiceover at one of the radio stations, and I read something on their cushion right there. It says there's a quality that one can actually take, which is called interdependence. It says we utilize each other's skills and capabilities as teams and as separate divisions to optimize our collective performance.
Awesome. That's brilliant.
That's powerful.
That's what it's about, you know? That's what it's about. And you know what's key to change, I think, is access to information. Because have you guys seen how sort of our generation, Generation Y, we've kind of like had more access to information than the previous generations. Therefore, we've got a lot more ideas into what we can actually do in this world, right?
Yeah.
But have you guys seen Generation Z, the guys that are coming up now, like the 18,
the millennials,
17-year-olds that are coming up now, dude?
Yeah.
Like, I read a study somewhere that said these young people will be the landlords to the majority of Generation Y. Because...
Epic.
Yeah, because they... Bro, think about it. When I was born in 1990, right... I was born when the first cell phone was made.
Yeah.
Okay? I didn't grow up with YouTube. I was about like, 12, 13 when YouTube was released, something around there.
Yeah.
My brother, who's just turned 14, he's been YouTubing, dude, since like 9 or something, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of thing opens your perspective as to what you can do one day. Now, these kids are moving quickly into the careers they want to do because they got this access, right? So one thing I see is that Joburg are going to have free Wi-Fi. And now that's crazy.
That's going to change things.
Yeah, that stimulates, right? That stimulates that change we're looking for too, you know?
100%.
Because now the more people that can have connectivity, the more people can connect with each other. But not only that, they can have access to opportunity and information.
That's going to change everything then, like, in essence. Because, I mean, people can really realize who they are and what they want to do with their lives. Imagine Africans, like people in remote areas, dude, what that would do for them.
Education, bro. Can you imagine like having just access to Wi-Fi? You can learn something online when you don't have option to go to school.
Exactly.
Until education isn't free, there has to be other means. And one of them has to be the internet.
Yeah.
Well, with everything, though, any tool that gets invented, sometimes the main thing was positive, but then people make it negative. Guns were invented so that hunting could be easier. Instead of having to run to the thing and have to stab it, you can shoot it from a distance. But then people started using that really cool invention some bad stuff.
Yeah.
The internet as well. You might think the internet is great. Let's give kids tablets and then, you know, their education is going to be so amazing. Let's give them free Wi-Fi, uncapped, so they could do what they like. And then you find out that they're using it for the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Twitter is a classic example.
Yeah, that's true.
100%. And I was about to say, because when I allude to it, it all goes down to the basics, right? So, like you took a picture this week, I actually took a picture of myself, and I was like, with all these things happening, so you can have all the information in the world, you can have all the opportunities in the world,
yeah.
But if you can't get up in the morning at 5 a.m. and get dressed for work and go to work, it means nothing, right?
Mm.
So, I was actually reading a quote now here, and it's actually some guy's t-shirt. It's like, you don't always need to have a plan, bro. Sometimes you just need balls. Harden the F up. Mm. I read that and I was like,
that's like a Lesotho kind of quote.
I was like, let's go do life.
Yeah.
Let's go do life.
Let's just go do life. But like what Vaughn is, leading to what you're saying, Vaughn, now, everybody's like talking about free education, etc. All these varsities are like, how are we going to fit all these kids into these lecture halls, right?
Yeah.
And the way I see it, as soon as you have Wi-Fi over the whole city, right, you're going to end up having kids sitting at home and literally like YouTubing lectures.
Mm. So I was thinking about it the other day, like, couldn't it like, so... Like, I generally sit and try to think of, like, different ideas of, like, just living. You know, not even, you know, just how could we live differently or how could learning be different, right? Now I thought, okay, if capacity is a problem in terms of buildings and acquiring land and you've got a municipality has to approve and you've got to build and it costs millions, why don't we try bring classes to the kids? But not how UNICEF has done it where it's sort of in a traditional format. I'm thinking using technology. So when we jack up our infrastructure in South Africa with regards to connectivity, imagine being able to stream lectures from your house.
Actually, let's take it even further. I hope no one takes this idea and makes millions off of it. But you know the virtual reality thing that Samsung has come up with?
S7.
Those goggles. Yeah, you put on those goggles
those
right there.
Cool,
and you watch a lecture.
And then you're there.
Yeah.
When you look around you, other class kids are right here as well. It feels like you're in a lecture hall and you're getting the right education. It's as if you're right there.
Yeah.
The only difference
is there.
You're sitting in a different chair.
Yeah.
But everything else is the same.
And you've got let's say you've got a program that's got all your classmates on it, almost in like a WhatsApp type format where you could connect and make groups and study together and exchange notes and trade, you know, those type of things.
Epic.
Like, surely those things can happen.
They can happen.
We've saved millions on building. Let's say building the engineering 3 building costs 5 billion rand.
Yeah.
Take that same, just take 1 billion rand, buy everybody virtual reality goggles, let them sit at home.
I think the biggest thing for it to happen is the culture. The biggest thing that needs to happen is the culture. It's a culture shift. Because just like you said, Wizza, people can abuse technology for wrong things and they completely forget what its main purpose is about. So you need to be very intentional in creating that culture and empowering people to utilizing the culture and taking ownership for that culture.
The only thing that would make me really happy, right, is that I don't have to sit in a lecture hall with the aircon on apartheid mode.
Yeah, bro.
That's it.
In engineering 3, dog.
White people love the aircon, but I won't lie though. I am. No, white people do love the aircon, bro. Like, it's a fact. And you know the thing is, I like the aircon, right?
Yeah.
But there are just some white people, dog, that like the aircon.
It's so bad. Like, they'll have the aircon on, right?
Yeah.
And they'll be wearing, like, short shorts, right? With, like, a tank top. And like slops.
And that's what Lesotho used to do in class.
It has to do with
that's what Lesotho used to do in class.
I think it has to do with DNA maybe. Like you know how most of the white guys obviously originate from Europe and colder places where the you know their body has it has managed to survive in those type of
climatizes to that
climate. Yes, and then when they get here, yeah, it's a little bit hotter than normal. They can bear it, but it's hot, you know. Mm. Yeah. That's why white people get so angry and they can complain so quickly, because they're like, first it's hot here, and I've been tolerating this heat, and then you come and then you tell me that the line is finished now because you're going on lunch. You know what? Let me see your manager.
It's true, right? There's two types of people in the world. People that don't complain and white people.
Oh my gosh. Every time Bon says stuff like that, I forget he's white. Eh? Like, I really do forget. Like.
It's bad. Like even like the swagger guy. If she has Bon walks, it's like he's wearing Cabela's.
You'd have that important meeting. Simpiwe rocks up in a suit. Weza rocks up in a suit.
And then Bon rocks
up in a suit. Bon comes there with some chains, all star.
And you need to emphasize the fact.
Sorry, I'm late. The taxis were a bit slow, and I was driving behind them.
And Bon is always late. I never understand, bro. Like.
But I mean,
speaking about that and meeting up, obviously tomorrow, right, yeah, we're kicking off Motivation Million, guys.
On Saturday.
Saturday.
I'm already on Friday, guys. I'm like, go. Yeah, right. On Saturday, yeah, we kick off Motivation Million.
So, I mean,
Million.
The really cool thing about Motivation Million is that we're trying to motivate as many kids as we possibly can. We're targeting about 200,000 kids in Gauteng alone.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this with you. You're going to join us because you're going to be there on Saturday. We're motivating people. So what happens on Saturday is it's a training session. It's going to be happening there at Standard Bank at the head office in Rosebank, yes, 30 Baker Street. So right there, we're going to be teaching everyone how to be really good public speakers. So we got this lovely company called P-Cube joining us. They're going to be training the guys for free.
Yeah,
so that's amazing. You know, everyone getting to a good level where, you know, they're confident with their speaking skills and everyone can actually interact with a crowd and keep a crowd going for a period of time.
Because essentially what we're doing, right, is that we're changing the culture.
Yeah.
We're shifting the culture.
We're shifting the culture. It's not so much about resources, it's about being resourceful.
Yeah.
And for you to be resourceful, it's about how you think in your mind.
Yeah. And to be honest with you guys, we don't have the money.
Dog. Like, long story short,
we don't.
You know why? Because fees haven't fallen.
But you know what? You can't be sitting thinking about what you don't have, thinking about what you still need. Normally, the problem is what you think you need to make something like this happen, to make a big movement like this happen. You might think you need this, you think you need that, but actually, those companies want to see that you've done something on your own before they can actually step up and say, well, here's this, let me help you like this or like that. So what we're trying to do right here is literally just based off shoestring budgets, you know. It's us just taking a bold statement and saying, guys, let us leap and then the net will appear.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's a necessary statement. That's what we need to emphasize. I mean, because we can all wait for opportunities, but we will be waiting the rest of our life for that opportunity.
Yeah.
Because no opportunity is going to come your way to make a
statement.
And I mean,
we're always preaching leap and then net will appear. Yeah. Make your move before you're ready. Yeah. Mm. Now we're showing that. I mean, we're not just talking. We're not just all talk. We're actually action as well.
Talk.
So what we're going to be doing on Saturday is you know, showing that, you know, this is all action. And I just have a good feeling about this, man. We really gonna do well.
Yeah, it's really awesome, man. I think the one thing I've learned since our journey together started as Unplugged is when I think back to the very first thing we did was our young leadership seminar that we had at Tux.
Yeah.
And I remember the build up to that.
Because
we're like four dudes like putting this thing together. Weza's working over hours, getting people involved. The night before, Simpiwe and I slept on the floor at Weza's place. We all just passed out, woke up in the morning, went to work, had to get back to Pretoria the next day to kill the talk. Yeah, we hardly slept actually. We napped for like 30 minutes. And then and just thinking about it in that sense, it's like when I look at it now, you know, you build a skyscraper a brick at a time.
Yeah.
No matter what happens. And every tweet, every poster, every late night, every time we've cut up VIP passes, where's the hustling to get people to get sponsors on board, all our sponsors that helped us, you know, venues, everyone, all you guys that come and support us, you know, all these bricks are slowly building. And you know, we're at a point now where we feel like we've built a strong enough foundation, and now we're trying to take it to that first level. And And it's a big step because, you know, we don't have all the ladders and the cranes and all that type of thing, but mm-hmm. we've got our hands, and yeah. we know you guys have your hands, and yeah. you know, the more hands we get together, the quicker we'll build that first level. And once that level's built, you know, this is not our thing. This is not us four doing this. It's ours as a nations, you know, mm-hmm. as a youth. This is something for all of us, you know. And I'm really appreciative of everyone's everyone's hands, man.
But I mean, when you don't have the cranes, when you don't have the electricity, that's a good thing, because that's how they built the pyramids.
Exactly. And they still can't build them today.
Yeah.
That's so real. It makes me realize, and it makes me think, you know, we're saying that we're building this first level, and you know, it's cliche when they say the sky's the limit. The sky's not the limit for us. It's the launch pad to the impossible for us. Yeah. We're going to other places, other levels, and we're going to do it together. That's the thing. It's a journey.
Yeah.
You know what I think we should just do? Just register Unplugged and Charged as an official political party. And then just let everybody vote. Guys. Yeah. Done. Done. Over.
Let's vote.
Let's vote. Burn ready to be president. They like, he's burn ready, yo.
Bro, I'll be like the first president to do like a state of the nation in a snapback.
What? Next level.
Dog.
I'll be walking out to Bozonke.
Problem is, you're going to be 5 minutes late.
That's the truth.
I'll start it on Twitter.
So guys, I mean, yeah. So I mean, this is the first show, Unplugged and Charged, right? Yeah. The year is still young. We're still gonna do a lot of kick-ass stuff. The Young Leaders Seminar Part 2 is still gonna happen this year.
Yeah.
Motivational Million, that kicks off on Saturday.
Yeah.
We have so many other conferences, so many other turn-ups gonna happen.
There's things like Rules of Engagement that's coming.
100%.
It actually just follows from what used to be the Leading Ladies Seminar, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, now for the first time there was a platform where ladies could talk about, you know, the true deeper issues that face them on a daily, whether it's in corporate, whether it's in growing up, abuse, and all these things, right? Mm. And it was really an eye-opening place where people can really share real-life stories. And I mean, the theme there was, I am my sister's keeper. So what we thought of, how about that actually just transforms into something bigger, where still the focus is on, you know, ladies talking about these amazing things that they have to go through, and sometimes these hard things that they have to go through, but we need men involved in these conversations so that when change happens, it can happen on both sides.
Yes,
because I think often at times there's that separation where, you know, we talk about, you know what, women are like this and like this, you know, it's a men's seminar, how we need to treat women from here on in. But then the women aren't there to make sure that, you know, they understand what we go through, or vice versa.
Agreed, completely agreed. I feel like patriarchy, you know, sort of requires us to have a men's type of thing and then a woman's type of thing. You know, that's essentially what it demands. So we're saying, you know, to hell with that. You know, let's have just a combined thing, because that's essentially what we want to create.
Because we'll never move forward if we're not together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. And that's what's awesome. And having, you know, listening to the ladies speak about what they face and what they do, it's extremely inspiring. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
bro.
Even it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. You can literally take that message and that story, and you can translate it into any way you really want for your own life.
Yeah, because I mean, I was at Leading Ladies last year, and I was a guy, you know. And I learned a lot.
Well, you were a guy last year.
I was a guy. I am a guy right now.
Until after, you know, there was a transition.
Oh, was it?
You know,
okay. Okay, calm down, kid. Calm down. Stop getting excited. So, I was there as a guy. And the most important thing is I realized that as a guy, we also have a part to play. And it's important that we realize that part we have to play.
True.
But
true.
We'll never move
on. I'm just scared we'll see a Simpiwe Jenner.
Here we go.
You know, like, I was there as a guy. Like, sometimes I can be there as something else.
Oh my gosh. You know, I actually watched a video actually on some American rapper. His name is Daylight or something. And he's hella. And I was watching a video, and they were asking him about Caitlyn Jenner. And he was like, so he's a guy, but he's a lady? Nah, fam. Nah, that don't make sense. That don't make no sense. Like,
yeah,
that girl going in, like.
And that time she was like, she won like Woman of the Year, I think.
Hey, bro, and she hasn't even been a woman for a year.
Dog.
True.
No, it's true. 100% true.
But wait. This is my question. Is she a woman though? Like, because apparently down south he's still a man.
Yeah, apparently. I've heard so many complicated things about that.
Like, it's complicated. Like,
it really is.
Wait. I mean, think about this. You've been a woman, Lele. You've been a woman for more than 23 years. You've never even won it once. This guy's been a woman for like a few months. Woman of the year.
Actually, I think we should get Lele's opinion on this. This is a very confusing topic.
And then you might find that she's starting to like win Miss USA all that type of stuff.
Woman of the year, it makes no sense. He's not even a woman. Like,
they should have like a transgender woman of the year.
Yeah,
they really wanna, you know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's also debatable. Whether
transgender of the year.
You know what I mean? But, so Lele, but that's also pretty debatable.
It is.
So Lele, give us your opinion.
Wait. What happened?
So, you know Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, who transformed into a woman, or sort of like a woman in inverted commas.
Freezer.
He won. So, he got an award for Woman of the Year last year. Yeah. And,
Vanity Fair. I think it was Vanity Fair?
Yeah, Vanity Fair.
Woman of the Year. But she hasn't been a woman for a year.
Not even. Yeah. Like, it's a couple of months.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think that's kind of disrespectful to her.
Oh my goodness.
I think that's kind of disrespectful, to be honest.
I mean, like, dude, like, what about, like, Serena Williams? Like, dude, so many legit, like, women that really put their, you know.
Oprah. Has Oprah won it yet?
I hope so, man.
I have Oprah. So many young girls who are like, I want to be Oprah. I want to be the next Oprah. Even at the Ascension Convention Center, we ask people, what's your dreams? Like, I want to be Oprah. I want to be like Oprah.
Yeah, there are even guys that want to like that look up to Oprah. I mean, dude, Sia. You know, Sia loves Oprah. Yeah. And he talks about Oprah and how Oprah changed his life. So, I mean, like, if there are women out there like that, why? How?
I feel like this challenges the statement then. Or rather the definition of a woman in our society, then what is a woman? Mm. If a man can change and become a woman, then what is exactly a woman?
It's very true.
What for must can to happen? Yeah, like,
and we will answer that question at Rules of Engagement.
Yes, definitely.
That's what it's all about. Uh-huh. See that? See that?
Well saved.
What an epic throw forward.
That
like.
Was brilliant.
But I mean, listen, guys, like I said, I mean, this is Unplugged and In Charge, so we know what's going to happen, right, during this year, and we know how Unplugged and In Charge is going to grow. But what I want to know is, how is everybody else going to grow? Or how is everybody else within Unplugged and In Charge going to grow? So, the show,
this hour is not enough, right?
It's not enough.
Yeah. It's not. It's
like,
not.
Can someone just drop a tweet at Cliff Central and just like make something? Can we have another poll? Should Unplugged and In Charge be 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or the whole day?
What a savage reach. But look, listen, on Tuesdays, we're having Take Charge Tuesdays. So
epic.
That's going
to
happen.
Yeah, you're going to catch us on a new segment on a Tuesday. We're going to be there from about 4:45 to just after 4:45, like just closer to 5:20, so just over half an hour. We're going to have a segment called Take Charge, which is essentially our hashtag. If you follow us on social media, you'll see Unplugged and In Charge, sort of our movement to join in the conversations. Use the hashtag Take Charge. And we're going to be having little bites of what to expect coming on Thursdays, and you know, a little bit of flavor for how we feel on a Tuesday. Just little pieces of information for you guys to digest to get ready for the big show on a Thursday, man. So it's going to be pretty dope.
100%. 100%.
On a Tuesday.
So let's find out, guys. And
taking charge on a Tuesday. Okay, well done, Vaughn.
And I want to start with Vaughn, right?
Yeah.
So Vaughn, 2016, Unplugged Charges happened. So that's a huge milestone. Done. Work is going good. Done. But what are the big things, the big highlights that we should be looking forward to for Vaughn in 2016? I'll then move on to Wes, then move on to Superior.
Okay. That's a cool question, man. I think, let me put this into perspective for myself. Okay, so there's a few things I set out to do every year, right? But generally what I do is, a lot of people set goals and they make them very specific, right? So what I did was, last year I said to myself, okay, what do I want 2015 to be the year of? Okay.
Yeah.
So I kind of do it like that. What do I want this year to be for me?
Right? So you give the year a title.
I give it a title, right? Yeah. So 2015, I'll tell you guys, I don't know if I've told you guys this, but my 2015 was my year to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And people are like, uncomfortable? Why do you want to be uncomfortable? And, you know, I broke it down with Aria on the Spoken Hustle last year, and I said to him, look, man, the thing is, when you're uncomfortable, you grow.
Yeah.
Right. So don't shy away from being uncomfortable. Rather embrace it and learn from what you can. So I made myself, I put myself into uncomfortable positions, not necessarily things that I wouldn't want to do, but things that are challenging, you know, and made you feel uncomfortable. So, for instance, at work, I push myself harder, speaking at various places, trying to challenge myself to speak on different topics, writing a bit more, all those type of things, right? And I felt like I achieved that last year. So this year, I sat down and said, okay, what do I want this year to be? And I said, this is the year I want to be more entrepreneurial, right? So I want to do more of, more creating, yeah, because I believe all of us are born with a innate desire to leave something behind and to create something that we imagine in our heads.
Yeah.
So I'm setting myself out to create as much as I can this year. I mean, with you guys, this is the first thing we're creating together. You know,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be various other things we do. And I mean, that's where my focus is. My dedication is to creating new ways, new things, new ideas, and really working at that, because I think the more we do that as young people, you know, the further we'll go. So if I had to sum it up, Lesego, I'd say, this year you could expect, from me, you can expect a whole lot more movement, a whole lot more sort of pursuing of ideas, and a whole lot more creating, man. I think it's the year to be creative and to be entrepreneurial. So that's where I'm sort of angling my efforts.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, pretty much, I think when I think about last year for me, I remember saying it once that it was a year of dreams. I was going to just dream it and then try hard to, you know, to pursue it. Mm. And I mean, last year, so many things did materialize. I mean, we came together, had a couple of visions. Hey guys, how about we come up with a seminar like this? And the seminar turned into an NPO. And then we said, hey guys, how about, you know, we had a collective dream of coming onto radio, and that came through. And without saying no to your dreams, just give your dreams a chance. That was my last year. And now this year is more of a, it's still uncomfortable, but it's also accountable. You know, be accountable for and take action on things. It almost feels like it's, every day must be like a chess move. Every day must be a chess move. And I'm taking account for my dreams. You know, there are certain things where there's a comfortable place you could sit at and let life lead you down that road. But actually, normally, if you let life take you somewhere, life doesn't really have much plan for you. So wherever it's taking you, well, good, bad news for you, there's not a lot planned down there.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want to go against the tide and you want to go uphill, you need to realize that nothing natural is going to let you go that way.
Yeah.
Everything natural is going to take you down. So
I'm
out here trying to, you know, get to new avenues, new places, and I'm really taking charge of my life in a way, and I'm betting on myself. It almost feels like I'm Kanye West. You know, when Kanye West sees the vision and no one else does, and he's like,
I'm Walt Disney.
You know. Yeah,
I'm Steve Jobs.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel like Steve Jobs, man. I'm starting to feel that thing where no one else. I mean, my mom, all she has right now is just a belief that you know what, you haven't been wrong yet.
Yeah.
So, Mara, you're making me stress, but you haven't been wrong yet. So go for it, and you don't have anyone else, you know, you don't have anything else. Like what Chad said the other day when we were interviewing Chad, this is not a game, guys. This is it. This is my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
man.
That's true.
That's dope. I like just to summarize that, you're saying you're taking accountability for your dreams.
Yeah.
I think that's a very powerful thing, bro. Dope.
Yeah, man. So in 2015, my tagline, actually, because I'm like you, Vaughn, I'm not really specific with certain things. I know what I want.
Yeah.
But I give my year a theme. So 2015 was the year I changed the game. I decided that everything that I was doing before, prior to my life, everything was going to be different. I was going to change the game. And it all started when I joined Deloitte. It was quite interesting because my first day at Deloitte, I was like, okay, well, I'm doing different things. And as I walked into Deloitte, there was this huge sign. It says, we're not playing the game, we're changing it. I'm like, shucks, all right, okay, so things are changing. And I mean, we started changing the way we saw ourselves. I mean, we changed the thinking patterns of people last year. We were literally changing and making statements with everything that we were doing. And I mean, Young Leaders Seminar was a defining moment for us.
Yeah.
Because everything that we've done after that was started at the Young Leaders Seminar. So in 2016, I said, okay, well, 2016 is the year of taking big risks and leaps of faith. And obviously that statement was said very well, and it was set in stone when I left my job about a month ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm really like Wizza, betting on myself and really believing on the fact that I'm here for a reason, and it's not to be in an office and sitting at a desk for the rest of my life, but rather to make a statement with my life. And I have to make big risks, because I know on the other side of my obedience and the other side of my risk taking and action is a promise, and I'm running after that promise.
Yeah.
I'm pursuing everything that I was born to be right now. I'm not waiting for 5 years' time. I'm doing it now to make sure that I can achieve and become the person I was born to be.
Shout out to you, dog.
Thanks. Essentially, it's like having a quarter life crisis. You know, you could either have a midlife crisis or you can have a quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
A quarter life crisis is actually better, because you haven't, not a lot is at stake yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you change it now and then you go for it. Because guys who have midlife crises normally are people who felt it when they were in their quarter life.
Yeah.
But they were too scared. They were too cautious, and they thought, let me just play it safe. And then by the time they get to 50, 45, right about there, they're like, you know what, I've had it till here.
Yeah.
The kids are out of the school now. Everybody, I've paid my dues. It's time to live my life.
Yeah.
And now the problem is, now you're starting on ground zero with what your passion is.
Yeah.
Whereas someone else started earlier.
Yeah.
And you know what, the great thing about, you know, living a life with passion and living things that you want to do, you wake up when you, like, I mean, this past week I've been waking up earlier than most days. I woke up at like 3:30, started working on the things that I wanted to do because it was me.
Yeah,
you know, man, what I mean?
It's
for me.
It's easy, dog.
It's easier when you're waking up for yourself.
You have no dependence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you LSG?
It's funny because I asked you guys this question and I didn't even have an answer for it myself.
Yeah.
Like a real corporate. Hey guys, solve the problem.
Get some consultants to do it for me. But essentially, so with me, a lot of the things that I do, it's very strategic, right? So I put puzzles together and I put things in certain places, and I know, okay, if that's there, that's there, everything will work out.
Yeah.
But I think this year, so if you drive on the R21, if you're in South Africa, drive on the R21, there's a BMW ad there and it says the exception rules.
Yeah.
Which is a brilliant play on words, right?
Mm.
And essentially what it is it's that thing of saying that whatever you do, do to the best of your ability, right? But it's almost like everybody says it, everybody knows that. Mm. But it's really one of those things to say that if you do something well enough, and you'll eventually be the best in the world for it, And when you're the best in the world for doing a specific thing, be unapologetic about it.
Mm.
So if you look at guys like Floyd Mayweather, when Floyd says he is the best in the world, he's not claiming he is the best in the world. He's never been beaten.
He backs it up.
He backs it up, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things. So this year, definitely a lot less sympathy.
Yeah.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Unapologetic.
Yeah. I think if you guys take something out of the show today, I would say, you know, it's never too late for a fresh start. And you know, time is something just we've created. So I think what you can do is you can go back home or just chill wherever you are and just think, how are you gonna summarize your year? And if you had to put your year in a caption, what would it be? Write that down and then hold yourself accountable at the end of the year.
Yeah. So as we're wrapping up the shortest hour on the week, it's been a session, and I think my last words are basically, be your own role model, you know? Go after everything that you've ever wanted to be. Look up to the people that are around you, but also take action and become the person you were born to be. Because I mean, it's tough to find a role model out there. It's tough to find a mentor out there. But why don't you try and take action and look at the people around you? Because you need to make a statement with your life, right?
Yeah, man. I want to really meet the 40-year-old Wizza.
That guy's a legend, eh?
That guy's epic.
Yeah.
Guy's epic. If you want to drop an album, drop it now, not when you're 50, bro.
Yeah, stop waiting on life to happen.
Guys, for the very first time, it's not see you until next Thursday. It's see you until Tuesday.
Yeah, man. It's been a session. This has been Unplugged and In Charge. See you on Tuesday.
This is CliffCentral.com.